At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A near supernatural goal from Lionel Messi.
Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cool off his line, and Brazil take the lead.
Is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Destination 2026. I'm Glenn Davis. We are 305 days away from the FIFA World Cup here in Houston. 7 matches to take place in this town, and the event being hosted by the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Only every 4 years, long qualification process. This will be the first World Cup with 48 teams. Big thank you to our sponsors tonight, Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, and Quanta. So who's qualified already for the World Cup? Let's get you into that. CONCACAF as host nations, the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, get in on their own. This will be the first World Cup, as mentioned, with 48 teams. CONMEBOL, that's South America. Brazil, Argentina, and Ecuador have already qualified as well. Of course, Brazil, the all-time leader, having won the World Cup 5 times. And between 1958 and 1970, they won 3 World Cups with the legendary Pelé in that time period. The 1970 team, which won the World Cup final at Azteca Stadium, in 1970 over Italy 4-1. Many consider that the greatest team of all time, with the names like Jairzinho, Pelé, Tostão, Rivelino, Carlos Alberto, on and on we go there with the Brazil national team. But I'll tell you a little bit about a really interesting event at the end of this segment before we go to break that I want to remind you about. So Brazil, Argentina, Ecuador out of South America. Of course, Argentina has won it 3 times. Asian Football Confederation, South Korea. Now, what just happened in the United States with South Korea? Well, their symbol, their national hero, Sun, has just joined LAFC from Spurs. So MLS is picking off a couple of big stars here. Iran has qualified. Australia has qualified. Uzbekistan and Jordan for the first time ever. And that's in part aided by the fact that this will be the first ever World Cup with 48 teams. You're going from 32 to 48. Oceania, you got New Zealand right now, UEFA, and has to still continue to qualify teams, as well as CONCACAF and the African Confederation as well. So there's still a lot of qualifying to go. The draw for what teams will come to Houston and to what cities in group play will not take place until December. So got a ways to go there, but there'll be a lot of qualifying between now and then. So another thing that has dropped, Mexico's 2026 home uniform or home kit or strip, however you like to say it. Mexico's World Cup kit now has come out. It's Adidas. It has an Aztec-inspired motif reminiscent of the 1998 jersey. So we'll see how the Mexican fan likes that. I think they go on sale Not sure when they go on sale, but oh, November 2025. How about that? And then, of course, well, what else do we have for you? Yeah, well, we have this little thing called the Premier League, which will begin on Friday with Liverpool against Bournemouth. Now, you know, that has a lot to do with the World Cup because World Cup players are spread out all over the Premier League and all the top leagues of Europe, of course. Liverpool-Bournemouth, so you got a U.S. international and Tyler Adams, who plays for Bournemouth. Wonderful player. I would expect him to be the captain of the national team, was on the Gold Cup team. So Liverpool and Bournemouth. Liverpool will defend its championship. That's 8 Central this Friday, so that's kind of the opener there. Then you have on Saturday, you got Aston Villa, Newcastle, Brighton, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Brentford, Sunderland, West Ham, Spurs, Burnley, Wolves, Man City, Chelsea, Crystal Palace. We'll start things off on Sunday. And then you have Manchester United against Arsenal on Sunday as well. And then Leeds, Everton on Monday. So we've been talking a lot about the Premier League, but if you're a team that's got aspirations for being in the top four and getting Champions League play and or competing for the title, you know, your first couple of games are huge. It's a huge consequence on these games. And in the case of Manchester United, they start with Arsenal, they play Chelsea, and then they will take on Man City in a derby match in round three. So you got to hit the ground running here. These are all teams that will be looking to tweak things, either tactically or integrating new players. So it's a tricky little circumstance for pretty much everybody going into the Premier League. So everybody's looking forward to that. Last night we had a wonderful, wonderful event out at Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village. It's where we do every Tuesday a live Soccer Matters show, and we had jerseys from all kinds of different teams out there, from Arsenal, Aston Villa, Liverpool, Manchester United, Atlas from Mexico, the Houston Dynamo. It was really, really fun. We had Jack McGlynn out there as well, the Dynamo player that, look, he's pushing to go to a World Cup in 2026. Jack will join me in the next segment. I'm going to re-air segment number one, where he talks about the World Cup and representing the national team. But outstanding young player, and you'll enjoy the re-air of segment number one, which will be coming up. But again, this was a great event, and it just shows off the incredible intensity and passion and love of soccer in Houston from all over the world for a variety of clubs. We have a thriving, growing, just really, really passionate supporters groups. I had some of the Aston Villa guys on. I had one of the Liverpool guys on, Ian. I had Arsenal. And the passion with which everybody speaks and the knowledge of these clubs and these supporters groups, really good and really impressive. And they're up on their teams. And, yes, it's social because you're going to a bar to watch together, but it's also, it does have a lot of deep meaning to a lot of people when it comes to results and, you know, the experiences they've had with their teams. And, you know, all it takes sometime is going on a trip to Europe and you end up at an Arsenal game. And because of the experience, you may end up an Arsenal fan for life. Or you might go to Old Trafford and see Manchester United. Or you might go to Barcelona. Or you might go to a more provincial team. Might be a smaller club where you have an exceptional experience and you realize the importance of a smaller club in a smaller town or city. So interesting stuff. It's spread out all over Houston. It's why we got the World Cup. And a big salute to all of you out there that are big, 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 passionate and huge, huge soccer fans. So we got Jack McGlynn coming up in the next segment. Then John Coppins from FIFA World Cup Houston 2026 is going to join me. John's got his fingers in everything. He's a very, very busy guy. We're going to talk about the volunteer program. They're going to need in and around 5,000 volunteers. So it's also a way to be involved with the World Cup and maybe make it, you know, kind of your connection that will last a lifetime that you volunteered at a World Cup. So that'll be pretty fun to talk to him. All right. I want to bring you up to date on some players because In the time period before a World Cup, you'll see things ratcheted up. You'll see players make moves to go to other clubs in order to get more playing time, to position themselves better to make a national team, or to position themselves better to make a national team and be a starter so that they can play in the rarefied air of a World Cup. So a couple of things just to point out here that kind of validates that, and there's plenty of them out there, but I'll give you a couple. So Tim Weah left Juventus to go to Olympique Marseille in France. Of course, Tim Weah's father was the legendary George Weah, the first African to ever win the Ballon d'Or, the World Player of the Year. Fantastic player. So Tim Weah has gone to Olympique Marseille, and that is in hopes of getting more playing time. Matt Turner wasn't getting playing time in Europe. Back to Major League Soccer, has already been on the field for the New England Revolution. Strictly a move right now to get games, to get back in the mix. Matt Freese had a good Gold Cup. So that's a position of you put a circle around for the United States right now. Turner's had a lot of experience in goal for the U.S., so we'll see how that all goes. Gio Reyna, who has kind of been a forgotten soul, Dortmund, potentially to Parma. That's not a done deal. An MLS loan is also on the table. But here's another player that has got to get it together, who really nobody's talking a whole lot about anymore. Honestly, I mean, great skill set, had the debacle at the last World Cup. I don't think this manager, Mauricio Pochettino, is going to put up with any lackluster attitude. You got a bad attitude, you're probably not going to make the team. We'll see if Gio Reyna is maturing and getting himself into a place he can get back on the national team. He certainly does come with a wonderful skill set. I think Italy would serve him well because the pace of the game is slower there. And he's one of these skill masters that wants to play the game at his pace. So I think the Italian league likely will be very, very good for him. But you know, you're seeing players making moves to get ready. Now, I don't know if you remember Kevin Paredes was at Wolfsburg. He's only 22 years old now. 2023, he got a debut with the national team, turned a few heads. He's had a lot of injury woes at Wolfsburg. Didn't play much last year. Apparently has gotten injured again. So there's a guy through injury. You know, don't discount that he wants to go to a World Cup either. You can even talk about a Jack Grealish, who's now going to Everton. Jack Grealish has got to prove to people that he wants to go to the World Cup, I think, and is going to be focused. So you're going to see the focus, the seriousness, all of this will get ratcheted up even more. Not that it shouldn't have been there already, but I think you'll see some moves that put players in a position where they can get more minutes and playing time, thus enhancing their ability to get picked for a national team and go to a World Cup. I did mention to you guys via a videos I'm doing. I'm doing videos pretty much daily now, just taking a topic and going with it. And I hope you follow me on all these things. But I did bring up Chris Richards, who was a winner with Crystal Palace over Liverpool in the Charity Shield, which is kind of significant because it kind of signifies the opening and the preparation for the Premier League season. And it is a shield. It's a trophy. It's really amazing when I look at him holding that trophy up because he was from Alabama. He was discovered down there by Eric Quill, who was an MLS player that grew up here on the fields in Houston. He was then taken to the FC Dallas Academy, didn't make the team. Then was brought back to Houston, played a year with the Texans under Eric Quill, and then went back up to Dallas, and this time made the team, got signed, was loaned out to Bayern Munich, played over there with the U19 team and the reserves at Bayern, and then was loaned to Hoffenheim, started getting games in the Bundesliga there, and then Bayern Munich ultimately sold him to Crystal Palace. But, yeah, it's a remarkable story. It is absolutely remarkable. Because he's playing in the arguably the greatest and most exposure-laden league in the world. And, you know, he's got a tie to running around fields in Houston, Texas, and Dallas. It really is quite remarkable. It's a reminder that people come from everywhere to play this game. I remember when Justin Mapp came out of Mississippi and was a U.S. national team player. I mean, a few years prior, I don't think there was a soccer ball in the state of Mississippi, you know, 25, 30 years ago. Maybe it's longer than that. And now these states are producing wonderful soccer players as it infiltrated into all parts of the country and out of ethnic areas around cities. So it's pretty remarkable what continues to happen and what continues to go on in the game. Christian Pulisic, I don't think, you know, I get the controversy that he didn't play in the Gold Cup. You can have your take on that. Regardless of that, it's one of the greatest performances last year of an American player for one of the biggest clubs in the world and pressure-filled situation at Milan. An American at Milan has to do better than anybody else. That's pressure. So hats off to Christian Pulisic. And Jack McGlynn even referenced him in, and we spoke about him in our interview. Just remarkable. It's amazing to see this, especially someone in my age and time period now, when it wasn't even a consideration way, way back until the breakthrough began. Mostly it was just you went over and trained somewhere. Okay, I want to let you know about this. This is going to be really, really fun. Hope to see you down there. I'm going to be down there. Battiri's going to be down there. This is our idea. It was called Monday Night Football. We've been hosting official FIFA films around differing World Cups. We went from 66 now at our last one, which was wonderful, to now we're going to air the 1970 FIFA official World Cup mini movie. It's at the University of Houston Downtown Wellness Center, August 18th, 6 o'clock Central Time. Come out. We'll briefly address the crowd. We'll have some other things going on down there. Come out for the screening of the 70 World Cup film. It features that great Brazilian national team who I referenced earlier in this segment. Some call it the greatest World Cup winning squad ever. Pelé, Carlos Alberto, Jairzinho, Rivelino, Tostão. Battiri and I are going to host this together. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a lot of fun activating these events. By the way, Battiri has done an incredible job of just executing and getting these things done logistically. He really has done wonderful, wonderful stuff. And I suggest you check out his art as well, because he is a football man. All right, Monday Night Football, August 18th, Houston Downtown Wellness Center. Come out for the screening of the 70 World Cup. Coming up next will be Jack McGlynn, followed by John Coppins of FIFA World Cup Houston 2026. And we remind you, every second Tuesday of the month, we go live with Soccer Matters on site. Players there, movers and shakers in the soccer community. Great opportunity to network. Okay, this is Destination 2026, brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola, Southwest Energy, and Quanta. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to keep this soccer talk rolling.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Destination 2026, Houston's countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Destination 2026. I'm Glenn Davis, and a big thanks to our sponsors as we count down to the Cup here in Houston, Texas. 305 days away. Show presented by Quanta, Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, and Energy, and we appreciate their support. All right, last night with our Soccer Matters version here on ESPN 97.5, we were up at Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village with a potential World Cup participant for the U.S. men's national team, Jack McGlynn of the Houston Dynamo. He was recently with the U.S. men's national team in the Gold Cup. Also, some friendlies, scored a spectacular goal against Turkey. He came off a two-goal performance this past weekend in the second half against Austin FC on the road to help the Dynamo get a 2-2 draw. And during that time period, was named to the MLS Team of the Week. So Jack McGlynn is one to look for making the roster and pushing to make the roster in World Cup 2026 for the U.S. national team. Here's a segment with him from last night in a great environment up at Senate Avenue Brewing with a great turnout.
Well, Jack, let's first I want to star build you a little bit. I want people to know where you came from, how you got here. So just take us a little bit through your initiation into the game, when it became important to you, your youth club, and then how you got to the Philadelphia Union. Let's start there.
Yeah, so I'm from Queens, New York, so kind of my whole family played soccer growing up. I have an older brother who's 5 years older, and he plays professionally in USL, so he's kind of the person I look up to in my life and wanted to be like him. And I saw him training every day, so I kind of wanted to do that and try to always beat him. You know, we'd have a lot of fights and games in the backyard, so that kind of taught me playing growing up. And my dad was a really good coach, and he taught me a lot growing up. He taught me everything I kind of know about the game, so I played for a team called Blauweiss Gotchi in New York, and then I was there going through the youth national team at the time, and I went to Philadelphia Union when I turned 15, and I played 6 months in the academy there and signed to the first team from there.
It's a pretty quick rise there. Now, one thing I want people to know, the area you grew up in and the education I got in soccer was around cities, and it was... There was a lot of ethnic groups that were playing the game. There were the Greeks there. There were the Italians, right? I mean, you got a flavor of that, right?
Yeah, you got everything. I mean, I lived across the street from a park, so always going there and playing pickup games at any time of the day, just playing against whether they're 30-year-olds or younger guys, kind of learning that way. They're hard on you, but it helps a lot in the long run.
Think kids are missing that a little bit these days, kind of these mixed games where you're playing with adults and you look across the field, that's... It's an adult. Yeah. It's a little different.
For sure. I think that kind of helped me so much growing up because I wasn't always the fastest guy. I was always playing up in age. So kind of had to make you think a little bit because or not, you're gonna get kicked, you know. So that kind of helps you. And I think, yeah, kids these days, I don't know if they really play that much anymore in the street like that. So it helped me a lot.
All right. You must have a good story of getting kicked by an adult when you were a kid. Do you have one that you remember?
There was this guy who always played in goal, and he must have been 75 years old. I don't know how he was doing it. And I megged him one time, and he chased me around the entire field until he kicked me. So that was the first time he actually came out of goal, and he was 75.
We just found out, that's funny, we're talking to Jack McGlynn, Houston Dynamo, U.S. Men's National Team. Before we got on the air, I was talking to Jack, and when I knew he played at Blauweiss Gotchi, which in the beginning was a German club.
Yep.
They played at a place called the Metropolitan Oval, which I played at. But when I played on it, it was complete dirt, and it was packed with houses and sort of, I mean, I couldn't get there if I tried today. I mean, I was just saying, I don't remember how I got there. You played on it. It was artificial surface at that
yeah.
point, right? So they had fixed it. But I was in a game once there with New York Greek Americans, and a guy pulled a gun and came on the field. So it was a little different. I also got hit over the head with a stick by a guy who came out of the crowd. So those games were pretty intense, but you had to be very aware, right? I mean, of your surroundings as well.
For sure, yeah. Kind of, there's always something going on, whether you're playing there or somewhere else in the park across. There's always something you got to look out for.
All right. When you get to the Union, when does it look like the first team is within touching distance?
Well, right when I got there, they kind of had a plan for me to make it through to the first team. That's one of the reasons I chose to go there. And they obviously had a great academy and a great kind of pathway with a lot of homegrowns before me making it through the ranks. So that kind of swayed my decision in going there over the New York teams. And, I think right when I got there, I was with the U-17s, but I was also with the U.S. national team, the younger age group. So I kind of knew I had a chance of making it, and I think I performed well with the academy, moved on to the second team. And when I signed my second team deal, it was included with the first team. So that kind of propelled me to that status.
Jack McGlynn joining us here tonight. If you're listening in on ESPN 97.5, he came off playing in the Gold Cup for the U.S. men's national team. Also scored, if you remember, that great goal against Turkey in the very, very beginning of the game in a friendly match, which, by the way, I was able to brag to my Turkish friends over in Istanbul on that one. Dynamo right now come off a 2-2 draw. They will be back in action. I want to take you back to your youth national team involvement because you were on a lot of different age groups. Did things stay consistent coaching-wise through those groups, or did they change a little bit going from one team and one age group to another? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the only ones that's kind of gone from, like, U14 to all the way,
yeah.
I think. So that's kind of special. But I think from like U14 up till U20, it's all the same. They kind of instill how they want to play with the ball, how they want to press, like usually 4-3-3. So that was kind of the way we were taught to play there. But I think once we got to U20 and we started becoming like professionals and like had our own thing going off the field, it kind of gave you a lot more freedom to do what you wanted on the field. Like, they knew we had experience from playing in MLS games or playing wherever we played. So it kind of developed more freedom and more just letting it, how we play, how we wanted to play.
So wait, your U20 coach was Tab?
Mike Ivaras.
Mike Ivaras, yeah. Who's now at San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay. We got one over on San Diego, by the way. All right. We're talking to Jack McGlynn, Houston Dynamo. At the Philadelphia Union, Jack played over 100 games, 7 goals, 15 assists. Okay, you come to the Dynamo. How was this presented to you? Because it was a bit of a, to be fair, professional sports, it was a bit of a shock that you were getting moved.
For sure, yeah. I didn't really know too much about it when I came and when I found out. They didn't really tell me too much. They just said, we have a move done for you, and you'll find out when it's over the line. So that's kind of how I found out. But I'm really happy that it's here, and I think I've developed a lot while being here, whether playing in a deeper role, higher role. I think the development here has been great, and pretty solely focused on me, like both on and off the field. So it's been great so far.
Yeah, I tell people it's a great move for you because you are essentially the orchestrator. Is that a plan that was laid out by Pat Onstad and Ben Olsen, you know, once you got down here or ahead of time?
Yeah, I had a call with them before I got here, like kind of outlining where they wanted me to play, whether it was a deeper spot or the right 10 role kind of. So I kind of knew what I was stepping into, and I know how, like, what I can do with the ball. I know how good I can be. So they knew that too, and they trusted me to be kind of the playmaker for the team, and yeah, I'm really happy with it.
So people watch you. You're looking for the ball in different areas of the field. Sometimes you come deeper, you pull out wide. That's what a lot of these great technical and creative players like you do. Is it essentially a free roll, do you say, or is that taking liberties here?
Yeah, a little bit. I think there's definitely structure.
I don't want to get you in trouble with the coach, by the way.
Of course not. No, there's definitely structure. I try to stay positional, even if the ball's on the other side, I'm trying to be in that pocket, so when it comes back around, I can get it and either play Griffin or take a shot. So that's kind of where I can do. But if I'm not getting on the ball, like, there's no point in me being there, you know? So I'm always going to try to find the ball, whether I have to go get it off someone's foot or run it behind, wherever it is, I'm going to try to get the ball.
All right. We use the word structure a lot, and I know some of my listeners are going, Glenn, you got to ask Jack a real question. So I'm going to ask you another real question. Do you think you're too structured sometimes, the Dynamo? And I say that respectfully. As tactics.
No, I think the structure we have works. I think it's just been some mistakes we've made this year. I think definitely hasn't been good enough. I'd say myself, I've made some mistakes that can't happen. So I think we just got to step up in these last 9 games now we have to make a playoff push. I think the structure and the game plan we've had from the coaches has been great. It's just sometimes we let ourselves down early and then have to kind of climb back in games. That leaves us a bit stretched, so they get chances. But I think if we start games the right way, like how we played this second half, there's no problem for us.
Yeah, you put yourself in the hole in the first half because those were definitely preventable goals, right? No question about it. We're talking to Jack McGlynn here, Houston Dynamo, one of the rising talents not only in Major League Soccer, U.S. Men's National Team. So it's 11 caps, 2 goals now. Playing under Mauricio Pochettino, this is a big name. He's a big name as a player, Premier League coach, got Tottenham to the Champions League final. What's it like playing under him?
Yeah, it's amazing. He just trusts in all of his players so much. Like, he's so passionate off the field, but he's just a great guy too. You know, you want to win for him, you want to play for him, and he'll be hard on you on the field, which is what you want. But off the field, he'll always put his arm around you, have a conversation with you about your family or something like that. So you never would have thought like that with such a big name. You know how down to earth he is, but it's been such an amazing experience.
So when people see him on TV, I think sometimes they think, oh, he's passive. And I'm going, this guy's Argentine. He ain't that passive behind the closed doors. So am I right when I say he's pretty intense in training?
For sure.
And in locker rooms and things like that without going in too deep?
Yeah. Like I said before, like off the field, he's the most chill guy. You know, he kind of lets you do your thing. He'll always talk to you, even things that aren't soccer related. So he's like that. But on the field, it's all business. You see his kind of track record. You don't get that without being like that. So you don't get the coach in Champions League finals without being that intense on the field.
Jack McGlynn joining us here, Senate Avenue Brewing Live. If you're out and around on 290 right now, get off at the Senate Avenue exit. You're looking at a guy that could potentially be in the World Cup. He's talented. He's been with the U.S. Men's National Team in the Gold Cup. We got some great jerseys in here tonight because if you do come out wearing a jersey, you get a free beer. I see Atlas from Guadalajara. I got Liverpool. We got Dynamo. We got Jack McGlynn. So it's all good out here tonight. All right, so the Premier League is starting on Friday. Do you have a favorite Premier League team,
Liverpool,
or could I get you in?
Liverpool.
Is it Liverpool?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Liverpool on Friday. So how much do you watch? Do you watch a lot of games?
Yeah, all the time. That's all I really do. I'm either probably playing video games, sleeping, or watching soccer. So that's kind of all I do. You know, I love the game so much, I might as well watch it, try to learn. I watch Liverpool a lot. Those are some of the best players in the world, and I watch guys in my position, see what they do, and I'm just always trying to get better, you know.
Do you watch – okay, so you watch guys that play your position. So you might focus on one guy, and then there are the games that you just watch kind of from a different viewpoint, right?
For sure, yeah. Kind of like
– for a little enjoyment and relaxation.
Yeah. You kind of take your mind off like, oh, I got to do film here. You know, it's just watching it to enjoy it because ultimately growing up you just enjoy the game and you still got to enjoy it even though it's your job, you know.
You know, it's pretty incredible what Jack just said a minute ago because I just came to the realization you don't often see – people go through a national team system anywhere from 14 all the way to the full national team. A lot of guys fade away, which that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I thank you for reminding me of that. All right, so next up is the Vancouver Whitecaps. It's going to be on artificial surface. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on playing on the fake stuff?
Yeah, no, not really. I kind of played there growing up my whole life. You know how it is in New York. It's all turf. There's no really grass. So I'm used to it. I think we'll be ready for it. It's going to be a tough one, obviously. They're a good team, top of the standings. But we'll be ready and just have to come out and fight that one.
Thomas Muller is supposed to debut against the Houston Dynamo in this game, the great German legend, one of the great legends of the game. I think he had 10 goals and 18 World Cup appearances. That's a pretty good haul right there for a guy that is not a dribbler, he's not explosive. There's something to be taken away from him as a player, isn't there?
Yeah, you see him. He's not the most athletic, but he's always in the right spot, whether he's scoring or assisting. He just always seems to be in the right spot to do that.
They call him the interpreter of space. So what's the mood this week been like in Dynamo training?
I think it's been good. I think today was a good day of training. I think it was really intense pushing ourselves because we don't play till Sunday, so we're able to have a good week of training now leading up to that. But I think we all saw that second half. We all watched the film on it, so I think we know that's what we're capable of. We can do that to a lot of teams in this league if we just start with fight and eliminate the mistakes we make.
What do you think the way you start a game, the way you start halves, it's very, very important psychologically. It's very, very important for the energy of a team. What do you think sometimes the problem is when you don't get off to a good start? You know, you're told in the locker room by the coach, we're starting strong tonight, guys, let's go, right? And then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know how to really explain it. We just got to switch on from the opening whistle. I think we did that in the second half. We kind of came out flying there. So I think if we just have that mindset and mentality going into these last nine games from minute one, not minute 45, we'll be good.
So just back to the Premier League, name me a couple players that you like, you model yourself after. I know I've asked this question before, but I'll be redundant tonight.
Well, De Bruyne's not there anymore, but he was probably number one who I would watch. I like Florian Wirtz. I watched him last game for Liverpool. He was excellent, so I've been watching him a lot, and I'm really excited to watch him this season. And also Alexis McAllister. I think he's world-class.
Bit of a two-way, right?
Yeah.
A little bit more two-way player. Your overall just perspective on where the team sits now playoff-wise, what you got to do to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Is the pressure building a little bit on you guys? Do you feel a sense of urgency now here?
Yeah, there's definitely a sense of urgency. I mean, you look at the table, we're nowhere near where we want to be, and I think we have the talent in the locker room to be way higher up the table. I think it's just, like I said before, if we eliminate those mistakes and kind of come out with a fighting attitude, some games just hasn't been there for us. So I think that's kind of the baseline we have to have going into these nine games, and we have the talent to take over games like we did in the second half.
All right, I saw you and Lawrence Sonali celebrating, right? And I'm going, youth is king. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at these two guys, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking at the future here. And you're the kind of guys with youth and energy that can lift others. It's not only the veterans. So just a little bit on him starting to get into the team a little bit more, Dwayne Holmes.
Yeah.
What sort of effect has that had on you? And obviously these two guys add a little pace.
Yeah, it's huge. I think I'm a player that when I have time, I think I could pick out a lot of passes. So having two guys that can run and stretch the field like that, it opens up everything, whether it's them in behind or someone underneath them, because the defense is going to drop because they're so fast they kind of have to anticipate that. So it's opened up a lot. I think we've been creating a lot more chances since those two have joined, and I think, yeah, we haven't really been putting them away as much, but I'm glad we got two last game, and hopefully that can continue.
Keep that going. We've seen it in Major League Soccer. You've seen it. Team turns it on the last eight, nine games, last couple of games, and go into the playoffs rip-roaring with their teeth baring. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility in Major League Soccer. Do you look at the numbers and do you look at points and how many you need to get in? And, you know, I guess conservatively we would say it would take maybe 42 out of the to get there. And then you've got nine games left, 27 points. So probably need, what, a good 15 to 20, right?
Yeah, I haven't really done that. You know, I'm just kind of taking it game by game, just putting all focus on getting three every week. I think that's the mindset we have to have. We can't look too deep into the future. When you start counting points, that's when you get the pressure and the nerves of each game. But I like to enjoy the way I play. I like to enjoy each game. So I'm putting all of my focus on Vancouver, and then we'll take the next one from there.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that from Jack McGlynn. Jack McGlynn and the Houston Dynamo will be in action this weekend at Vancouver. An expected, it's an expected debut potentially of the great German Thomas Muller, who, by the way, in World Cups, which we have featured on the show, Muller played in 18 World Cup games, scoring 10 goals, which is pretty remarkable for the German national team. He could debut for Vancouver. The Dynamo will be on the road. That is a must-win game. And for Jack McGlynn, well, with the U.S. men's national team, 11 caps and 2 goals right now, and hopefully many, many more to come for him. All right, let's take a break here. It's Destination 2026, Houston's countdown to the Cup. And it's all brought to you by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist Energy, and Quantum.
ESPN 97.5. This is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight as we continue on here. By the way, it's 302 days till the World Cup begins, and we will have 7 matches right here in Houston, Texas. 2 of those knockout stage games as well. So the time, it seems to be accelerated now, getting closer and closer. And you heard in the first segment some of our conversation around players that are making moves now to make sure they're getting playing time in an effort to make rosters and ultimately get to the rarefied air of playing in a World Cup. But right now, let's get to our guest here tonight. He's John Coppins. We've had him on the show before. He is the Vice President of Operations for FIFA World Cup 26 in Houston. John, it's hard to believe 302 days. That doesn't seem like a lot to me. I don't know what it seems like to you.
Yeah, it's actually even less, right? I mean, that may be the time until the tournament starts, but for us here in Houston, there's so much going on already, and certainly when the calendar flips to 2026, and we know who's playing in Houston, you know, we get ready to build a pitch at NRG Stadium, it's going to be much closer than 302 days to when we're ramping up the effort.
John, anybody specifically you'd like to see get drawn to have to play some matches in Houston? Any particular team?
You know, I don't know if I'm allowed to have a politically correct answer to that question. I think, you know, it's Houston, right? Yep. We've got such a diverse and global community here. But it would be great to see, you know, whether it's a South American team or, you know, really any of the teams that'll qualify that maybe have a big population base here, a significant one here. Certainly would be fun for the folks that call Houston home, but are originally from other parts of the world to have that team in. But we know regardless of who it is, it's going to draw a big crowd. It's going to draw a sellout, and the energy and excitement will be there.
Speaking of energy and excitement, and we've been talking about this and getting the word out a little bit, but this is really your baby here.
FIFA World Cup 26 volunteer program has been launched. Let me just give you a platform to talk about it because you know a lot more about it than I do.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. And again, this is something that's key to any World Cup, regardless of the country or countries where it's being hosted. You know, FIFA World Cup volunteers are really the backbone of, you know, the tournament's success. It's hard to believe that a sporting event of this magnitude would rely on, you know, specifically here in Houston, 5,200 volunteers to execute various tournament functions and host city functions. But it really is kind of the first time that the FIFA flag is planted in each of the host cities. And there's real opportunities to sign up and get engaged outside of purchasing tickets with the event. So we're excited here. As I said before we got started, Houston has a tremendous history of showing out in the form of volunteers for these major sporting events, whether it's Super Bowl, Final Four, college football playoff, and certainly with an event of the magnitude of the FIFA World Cup, you know, really unmatched within the sport or within the global sporting landscape. We anticipate a lot of folks to be interested in roles here in Houston. And the great news is FIFA as an event partner, there are so many different incredible committees and volunteer roles available. So depending on what your interest is or knowledge base is with the sport of soccer, there's a volunteer role for you. So again, it's an exciting time. It launched on Monday, this Monday, August 11th. We're excited to say over the last, 72 hours or so, we've had over 7,200 volunteers, prospective volunteers, already signed up. So here in Houston, we're looking to fill about 5,200 roles. And the fact that 3 days into it, we already have over 7,000 people signed up. You know, I'd be willing to say by the end of the week, we'll have 10,000 signed up. And again, it's good to have that big base and good to have that level of support from your community.
All right. So let me start with this. Give us some examples of the types of roles.
Yeah. So really, it's across the entire tournament and functions that FIFA would lead. And then also on the host city side, we have a number of host city ambassador roles. So on the FIFA side, fan operations, guest operations, team services, pre-match ceremonies. That's a very popular one, as you'd expect, you know, people holding giant FIFA flags or country flags down on the field. Partner and media operations. Really, if it's something that FIFA has staff or a team in town to do around the match, they're relying on some level of volunteer support to execute that function. So again, there's over 25-ish different committees on the FIFA side. And then from a host committee standpoint, it'll be a similar deployment and strategy to other major events in our region, to where we want folks at the airports, transit hubs, downtown, east downtown, you know, human arrows, so to speak, helping with wayfinding information services so that the visitors that are in Houston for the tournament have a local friendly face that's there to help folks find their way around our city, experience the best of our city, and again, put on that welcoming face in support of the event.
We know how to do that in Houston. You go to FWC26Houston.com. And that's where you can apply. I don't know. Are we going to close the window on this? You already have 7,200 people. How do you sift through who is going to be a good volunteer? Because volunteers, there are different types of volunteers. And I say that respectfully.
Yeah, certainly. It's a major undertaking. And I want to be transparent. You know, FIFA is really pulling on the levers with the program, and it's one integrated program across all 16 host cities across the three countries. So essentially, it's a very similar model to what you'd see during the Olympics or around an Olympics, to where there's going to be more demand than supply for volunteer roles. But just signing up online, filling out an application, that does not guarantee you a volunteer position. It's really just the first step in what is largely an 8-month process leading into the event. FIFA will actually stand up a volunteer center here in Houston. It's going to be headquartered at the Post downtown. If you're familiar with the old Barbara Jordan Plaza post office there, that has been repurposed into a mixed use venue. We'll have a 15,000 square foot volunteer center in which interviews will take place, training, uniform pickup, accreditation pickup. It'll essentially serve as the hub for the volunteer program. So getting that application in, just the first step. There will be an in-person brief interview. There will be kind of a personality skill set assessment that may place folks on certain committees versus the others. So it's really much more of a journey than just putting your name down and saying, call me when you need me. It's something that, again, because of the complexity of the roles, the duration of the tournament, it's a major commitment, right? It's a major time commitment. And FIFA certainly wants to make sure it's got the right volunteers plugged into the right roles. And if you're in a role where you need to be able to speak three or four different languages, that they've got someone that can speak three or four different languages. And Texan does not count as a language, by the way, on the application.
Or Spanglish, probably, right?
Yeah. But it's a very intensive process. Again, I think really the Olympics is kind of the only other, and I think the Super Bowl does this as well, the only other sporting events that run a program like this. But it's exciting. It creates buzz for that entire 8-month lead up and creates a unique journey for the volunteer from start to finish.
Volunteers have to be 18 years of age, and like you said, which is a big one, you got to be available for the duration of the tournament, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's some committees that'll have shifts, a month before the first match even takes place. And certainly, across the volunteer center spectrum, we have folks that are going to come in and be volunteer interviewers. So actually folks who are going to be interviewing the other prospective volunteers as early as this October and November. So there's numerous opportunities, whether, this is something you're doing on your days off or your company, affords you time to step out from work and go volunteer. It's a 7 days a week. And certainly once the tournament hits, all 39 days of the tournament, even on dark days, that there's going to be work to be done and volunteers that'll be needed to support.
He's John Coppins, Vice President of Operations, FIFA World Cup 26, Houston. John, for the outsider, they see the beautiful field, they see the presentation, they see the execution, they take the cherry off the top of the cake. Take us a little bit into your days and some of the different things that go on with you. I mean, you got a lot of plates that you're juggling, I know that. So that people get an understanding of what the behind the scenes work is and how much work it is and the level of pressure to pull off an event like this.
It's certainly a significant undertaking, and I'd be remiss to say, we have an extended team here that's working incredibly hard on the event, from the city and the county stakeholders, elected officials, down to the staff like myself who are preparing for the event. But just to give you a kind of a look into the scope and scale, FIFA has, I think, over 81 different functional areas. So, pitch maintenance would be a functional area. Safety and security would be a functional area. So 81 different groups of folks who are helping coordinate and plan their little area of the event. And they've all been hard at work since it was announced that the event would be here, but really most in earnest for the last year and a half, 2 years. And all of those different functional areas are at various levels of planning and their timelines, right? So from my standpoint, we're super far along on certain areas, and some areas we're just getting started on. So if you work in events, that's the type of environment you like, right? I mean, it's really fun. No 2 days or 2 weeks or months are the same for a host committee staffer, but it's a lot. It some days it feels like you're drinking from a fire hose. You've got more emails that you can get back to, but we're fortunate. We've got a great team here, great support from the community. And again, no matter what functional area it is or what the task is, when you say FIFA World Cup, people are ready to get on the phone. They're ready to get in person and start planning. So it's very nice to see that receptive nature that, doesn't always happen in everybody's course of work. Sometimes people get annoyed when they get an email, but for us, when I shoot somebody a note to try and connect about, hey, we need to talk about training site safety and security, people are generally excited to take that meeting and help plan ahead of next summer.
Vice President of Operations, FIFA World Cup 26, Houston. We're pleased to have him on tonight. He's John Coppins. John, does the adrenaline kick in closer to when you get to the event and we actually get our first game here in Houston? When does that kick in for you personally?
Well, personally, I'm running on a little bit of adrenaline now. My wife and I, we welcomed our second daughter 2 weeks ago. So I've got the newborn stage going on right now, not getting a lot of sleep, which is actually good practice and training for next summer, operating on minimal sleep.
Congratulations, by the way, to you and your wife.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think, again, anyone who works in events or works on events like this, and or even plays in it, right? I mean, I know your background, right? once you get to the eve of the match or the eve of the event, it definitely, the adrenaline kicks in, and it doesn't matter how much sleep you get or don't get. 39 days, like, it's going to be incredible. It's why we do what we do. If you can't get up for the actual event, you're on in the long line of work. But I will say, once the event's over, yeah, we'll go sleep for 2 or 3 days before we come back and clean everything up. But I think every day, you mentioned it, it feels like every day the momentum and excitement is building, and we certainly feel that and feed off of that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You see things happening in the city. You see mentions here, other markets around the country. You see players making moves now to get more playing time in order to make the national team squad and hopefully played in the rarefied air of a FIFA World Cup. So it's a lot of interesting things really, really going on. Anything else of interest you'd like to give the listener before we let you go?
No, I'd just say if you've got an interest in volunteering, even if you're not sure if you can commit the time, go ahead and fill out an application. These events are only as successful as the community helps make them. And this volunteer program here in Houston, it's an incredible way to get in time or get involved, donate some time, get some incredible swag out of it. FIFA's given us some looks. It's a, 10 piece apparel package all the way down to Adidas shoes and socks. I mean, the full jumpsuits. Like, it's really a once in a, lifetime, potentially opportunity to get involved. And again, we're very lucky here in Houston to have such a tradition of volunteerism and folks supporting these events in the community. One thing I would say, just don't wait for your opportunity. Go ahead and get online, fwc26houston.com, fill out an application and come join the fun.
Yeah, it's going to be remarkable. And I mean, it'll be something you can look back on the rest of your life, that you volunteered for a legendary World Cup and games in Houston, Texas, right here. He's John Coppins, Vice President of Operations, FIFA World Cup 26 Houston. John, thanks for visiting. Let's do it again. Good luck with the baby, and I hope you can get enough sleep. We're gonna monitor your sleep so you're up for the big moment when we get there, all right?
Awesome, Glenn. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. So that was a great way to end it here tonight. And again, we thank our sponsors of this show, Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola, Southwest Energy, and Quanta. Hard to believe, 302 days away, the FIFA World Cup will be having 7 matches here in Houston. 2 of them are knockout stage. You can get packages already for this. So pretty remarkable. More information at FWC26Houston.com. That does it tonight for Destination 2026. Until next Wednesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Thanks, everybody.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.